Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Good morning, all the best people I know out there. We're going to just do this global group hug thing today because, wow, this is going to be such a fun show. I am so excited. We have best-selling romance writer, Eye of the Storm, going on to the big screen, C.K. Gray with us. So a lot of you out there are writing novels yourself, and you'd love to know, how did Carrie get into this? How did she become a best-selling author? A lot of you have written some really great books, and you probably want to know how to get on the big screen. And then we just have fans out there who just are really excited to hear about a great love story or just to be inspired by a beautiful soul, which Carrie Gray is certainly all of that. So if you have a question, you can call 347-637-1318. #1 will put you through to the switchboard, or just open up the chat room. You can type in there. And, of course, thank you to the Blog Talk Radio team. We love them for making Carrie a featured staff pick of the day. So sharing her shine with us, it is a pleasure and privilege to welcome the one and only beautiful Carrie Gray with us. Good morning, sunshine. How are you out there in Los Angeles?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm so happy that you're here.
I'm so happy I'm here,
too. You've done some amazing things.
Yes, it is pretty and it is amazing thing.
It's just amazing what you've done. Now, for people that don't know all of your great success, I just want them to understand your Eye of the Storm is the second book, which is
Storm is the first book.
The first book, okay, and the second book that'll be following.
After the Storm. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Okay. And that's being adapted to the big screen. And that's actually a lot of people know or are familiar with How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, producer Christine Peters and Paul Johansson. And they're the ones that are actually adapting your story onto the big screen. And it centers around, I guess, a successful businesswoman. And she's drawn to a doctor, unwittingly mirroring a doomed romance from a century ago. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of twists and turns to it. So, you know, the thing about you is, and I love this quote, don't ever think that anything is impossible because anything is possible. And you listen to your heart. You followed your heart. You wrote this book. And obviously your story is equally, if not more exciting than the romance novels you write. So, you know, tell listeners a little bit about how this all started.
It all started in about 2009. I had this epiphany, and I just, I think I came to realization that I need to do something for me. And I am a mom. I'm a business owner for 26 years, a successful company, and everything was perfect, except I knew that there was something missing. There was still something missing in my life. And I had to think about it, and I thought, you know, I need to do what I love to do, and that is writing. I've always written my entire life. I've never written a novel. I wrote quotes, poetry, journaled, but I needed to do something for me. So the pieces all came together, and in 2010, I began writing Eye of the Storm, in January 2010, actually, and it took me 9 months, so I call it the birth of my first baby. And it took me 9 months to produce this book, so I self-published it, and it filtered all the way through, just pretty much through Facebook at the time, because I didn't really even have a Twitter site, I didn't have a fan page, and it filtered into Hollywood 6 months afterwards, so It was pretty crazy, but it's been an exciting roller coaster ride. And like I said, it was just following my passion, following my heart, and finding what was buried deep within. And I did. And I discovered that passion, and this is the outcome.
Well, that's quite an outcome. And, you know, there's just so many elements of what I find fascinating, and I know listeners are going to enjoy about you. You know, obviously, following your heart, you did what you wanted to do. Your passion was to write. Mm-hmm. You know, this was something that you just did because it was at the core belief of who you were. And, you know, it's amazing to me. I'm always humbled having the honor of interviewing amazing people like yourself, mm-hmm. and that seems to be a real common thread. You have to be motivated from the core belief and value system. It can't be for the external fame, mm-hmm. money, and all that so many people seem to be after. It has to be the mm-hmm. core. But, you know, there's an interesting part of you that I'd love for you to discuss. You wrote, you self-published it to get it out there, and here you are mm-hmm. on the big screen, and here you mm-hmm. are with a best-selling book, mainstream. Mm-hmm. Talk to people about that.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I never, ever would have ever fathomed the thought that I'd be where I am today. It was just something that I needed to do, and for it to get out to the big screen was, I'm still pinch myself. I mean, I just met with Stedman Graham the other day, and it's like, just blows me away where this is all gone. But, you know, I mean, how much closer can I get to Oprah than that?
I was going to say, I saw that on Facebook, by the way. And I just want mm-hmm. you to go to Carrie's Facebook page. Tell people how they can find your Facebook page, because that is a great place. That's a very happy place you have,
yeah,
Carrie, and I did see that picture.
Thank you. I know. I was taken backstage, actually. I was speaking. It was called up on stage in front of, I don't know, close to 800 people, and just surprisingly called up on stage to speak about the success and where it's gone. And then afterwards, he said, come back with me. And he took me backstage, and there was Stedman Graham was sitting right there, and he asked for an autographed copy of my book. So I gave him that. I signed it, and he's got it now. But anyway, it's my fan page on Facebook is Love Story Romance Novels at CKG Books. And
okay.
That is that is my Facebook fan page, and my website is ckgbooks.com. So they can look at go on my website as well. There is a book trailer there. There's a bio on me. There's some reader feedback. A lot of the different tabs they can just surf around the website.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations on that. So everybody's sitting here going, wow, that is so cool. How did you do that, Carrie? How did you do that? So let's talk a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm.
You self-published this book. You did your Facebook page. You got some reviews. Lead people, because this became a best-selling novel.
And
you're on the big screen. And you just, you know, just shared what you did. It's amazing. Your story is fabulous.
Well, you know, people think, you know, the traditional publishing, we're so lucky today because of all the social networking with Facebook and Twitter and everything else. I mean, I'll look back at, if I were to do this 20 years ago, I probably wouldn't be where I am today, because 20 years ago, I don't know if there was self-publishing really 20 years ago. You had to do the traditional, you sent it out to all the different publishing companies, and I actually did. Okay, I'll back it up a little bit. When I wrote this story and I had the manuscript in my hand, I thought, okay, what do I do now? I'm one that, you know, I'm determined, and when I say I'm going to do something, I do it. And I really wanted to get this book out there, but I thought, all right, how am I going to get this done? How am I going to get it out to the rest of the world? How am I going to get it to publishing companies? Who's going to pick it up? You know, everything goes through your head as an author. You have no idea. I'm stuck with this manuscript, and it's like, okay, what do I do with this now? What's the next step? And I was brand new to this whole thing. I mean, I'm an interior designer. That's my full-time career. And so to write as my passion, I have this manuscript, and now what do I do with it? So I thought, all right, I need to get this in book form. So I found an awesome publishing company, a self-publishing company, and I had them print the books for me. So they did. And then I thought, you know what, I'm going to fly to New York City. And I flew. I flew to New York City. I went to Penguin, Random House, Sterling. I mean, I went to every publishing company. I believe there were 8 or 10 of them that I went to. Took the books and dropped them off at every single publishing company. And most of them were, you know, okay, leave it with us. We'll put it in that department. And, you know, you can become a little discouraged, but I'm not one to give up, because when I follow my heart, I'm going to go as far as I possibly can. So I took it to the publishing companies, and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to continue to self-publish this because I'll get it out there, and, you know, you introduce it to your family, friends, and everybody's excited to read it, and they're going to say, oh, yeah, this is a great story, you know, because your best friends are going to tell you that. And then, like I said, I put it up on my Facebook page, and then I got a message from a producer in L.A. and said he had a huge interest in the book, and was I interested in sending him a signed copy, and he was going to look over it, and he decided, he said, I'm going to have some contracts put together, and I would like to option your book, and that was the first thing, and that was 6 months. That was six months, I think. My book had only been out for 6 months. It just filtered into his hands. I had no idea how. It was through the internet, and I guess word of mouth. Maybe he was looking for a romance novel or a romance genre to produce a movie. But I asked my attorney, I said, is it wrong for me to ask him for a six-month option rather than a 1 year? And he says, no, it's your baby. You need to do what you need to do. So I did. I gave him 6 months, and I figured if he really wanted to do something with it, and I knew at the time he was working with some Sony Pictures, and anyway, his 6 months came and went. But in the meantime, there were three other production companies that contacted me and said that they had an interest in the book. And then I had a book signing last May back here in L.A. at the Beverly Hills Hotel. And Christine Peters shows up. And she's the producer of How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, as well as many others. And she's producing a movie called How to Get a Guy right now as well. So anyway, Christine shows up and she says, I want this book. I want this story. Let's meet. Let's talk about it. And the rest is history. And that's kind of where it's gone from there. So that's all pretty much been in the last, within the last year. So it's through the developmental phase, and now we're just about ready for pre-production. So,
oh, my goodness.
Go.
What? That is just absolutely mind-blowing. I mean, so here you are. And by the way, I have to tell you, you have a big fan in the chat room, Carrie Borth, and she wants to say that you're awesome and to say
thank
hello.
You.
But so that's really sweet. But you know, you don't wait. You go to New York City. You go to all these mainstream publishing places. You physically drop off your books. Reminds me of like Taylor Swift when she. I remember watching a documentary, and she said, you know, I want to be a country singer. And she just went with her mom and just physically dropped off CDs to every single place in Nashville that she could get her hands on. And then, you know, what you're saying is you just went ahead, you got it out there, and then you were promoting the book, out there working hard, and here comes a director and a producer saying, I got to have it. That is just unbelievable. Do you kind of pinch yourself sometimes and say, you know, how did this happen? You should write a book about how to write a book and how to write a book that gets into a movie.
Exactly. I'm going to just be my next one. I know the whole thing, like I said, how this has evolved. It's just, I don't know. I mean, people ask me, has it hit you yet? And it's like, I know it's a best-selling novel. I know it's a great novel. And I think the importance of my book is, you know, the way I wrote it. And I knew that when I wrote this book, I never expected to ever write a romance novel. I never, ever did. I don't read much romance. But I thought, you know, when the storyline came to me, I thought, this is something that can captivate an audience. And I want to grasp the reader's attention, and not just female as a romance novel. I said, I want this to really attract the male population as well. So when I designed the cover of it, it's just basically a lake with a dark sky. It's very basic because at the time, again, I mean, if I were to redo the cover, I probably would. But again, I was inexperienced, and I just thought, okay, this is a great cover. I'll just use this. But actually, it worked in my favor because men can walk to an airport with it. You know, C.K. Gray is my pin name. Just, you know, most people know me by that. But men can walk to an airport, they can sit on a plane, and they can read this book. So on my website, ckgbooks.com, if they go to the reader feedback tab, I'd say 35% of the feedback has been submitted by men. And there's over 150 testimonials. So I was pretty impressed. And I know, you know, the more people I speak to, you know, men especially, you know, they men have that soft spot, and they really do. And It's a relatable storyline where it's connecting with the person you are destined to be with. And, you know, you can look and people that are in long-term relationships, you know, they look at them and say, you know, is this my soulmate? Or is my soulmate out there? Am I destined to be with the person I'm with today? Or is the person I'm destined to be with there? You know, and the thing is it, if you do find that person, is it worth giving up everything for the one you love? You know, it just really poses a lot of questions as well. And I think, you know, this is why it's become, you know, going to become a feature film, because made for both men and women to enjoy it. And it is so relatable. Although it's fictional, it is nonfiction in so many ways, because it is true life. And it's really what happens. And it's that's, you know, I think that's what the excitement of the book was in writing the storyline.
Wow, unbelievable. Well, let's get a little bit more into the storyline. Mm-hmm. Tell people about some of the characters and some of the twists and the turns and, you know, the things that people can relate to and connect to, and what you're hoping people will get out of this storyline, because there's so much here.
There is actually, it is deep. It is very deep. It starts as historical romance, 1902 in Savannah, Georgia. And that's actually, I was just called to Savannah. I just got back a few weeks ago. I was on ABC Fox, and Good Morning Savannah, and 5 radio shows and a few talk shows. And just because that's where we will most likely be filming. So, and I did some book signings at Barnes & Noble. But the question you asked me in regards to the storyline, so it starts 1902, Savannah, Georgia. So it starts a historical romance between a 17-year-old and a 19-year-old. And at that time, yes, people got married very young. But their connection was something beyond any other relationship. They had this special connection, these two people. They're very, very much deeply in love, and they lost their lives tragically, and, you know, in the first, well, 8 chapters it goes on to, and then it begins again in 2010, Seattle, Washington. So I basically went from the southeast to the northwest of the United States. But they, two other couples, not even knowing each other, show up at a charity event, and they're just drawn to each other. There's something, there's a connection between them. They're both married, they both have children, they're both in relationships, and although it's morally wrong, I think you really begin to understand that it's okay. I mean, just because life is too short in order not to be happy. And I think they discovered that, you know, there was some connection, and it's a soulmate connection deep within that they are connected on. But again, is it worth giving up everything for the one you love, or the one you're destined to be with? So that's kind of how the story. I won't give too much more away. But that is Eye of the Storm. But it does end, and there's another little funny twist to this whole thing. When I wrote Eye of the Storm, I thought of another storyline that, you know, I thought, okay, this is my next storyline. And I began to write it, and then I developed such a fan base, and everybody says, you have to tell us, you have to write the sequel to Eye of the Storm, because we need to know what happens. And I never intended to write a sequel, never. I was going to end it at that one. But I developed such a great fan base, and, I mean, I have amazing supportive fans that are just following me everywhere. I mean, I just couldn't be where I am today without them. But they said, you have to write the sequel. So 10 months later, I wrote the sequel, After the Storm. So it does give the full ending, and it goes right into the storyline, so people can read. You know, so you, after Eye of the Storm, you want to get right into After the Storm, because it kind of explains the rest of the story, what happens with them. But that's it.
Wow, that is just so amazing. So we'll tell. So this story, even though you have the sequel in the book, the movie is about the first one.
The movie is exactly. It's based on Eye of the Storm, yes, the first book.
Okay.
First book.
So, you know, we could also have a sequel movie. You never know. So that
well,
could be.
You know,
that
they,
could be.
They optioned my second book already. So
they did.
They did.
Oh,
they did. About that is. Yeah, a lot of the public doesn't know. It's, you know, nothing I really have mentioned, but yes, they have optioned my book. It's in the contract. So CFP Entertainment, and actually I've been asked to co-produce, which has been another incredible thing. But Christine and I work so well together, and when Paul Johansson actually, Nick Cassavetes who wrote the screenplay and directed The Notebook. It's his partner, Paul Johansson, and Paul actually wrote the script for Eye of the Storm. So back and forth, I mean, we collaborated quite a bit throughout the process of the screenplay, and there's a lot of me in there, and my famous quote will be in the script too, which is, life is half lived before we really understand what life is all about. And that is my quote, and actually that was written into the script, which is very exciting as well. So after three drafts of the script, you know, it's now complete, and it's, you know, in the hands of our potential A-list cast. So it is pretty exciting. It's moving so quickly now. So,
oh my goodness, Carrie, I just love your whole story. It's just like, talk about a dose of inspiration. If you're just joining us, we are with best-selling romance novel writer C.K. Gray, Eye of the Storm, and she's sharing how she went from interior design, having a baby, all these things, to just following her heart, writing a romance book. She went the mainstream and talked to all the different well-known names in New York City, and she decided to self-publish this book. And, you know, a few short months later, as she was doing her book signing, this movie production famous person said, I got to have this book. We got to make it into a major motion picture. And that's where she is with it now. It's just a phenomenal, phenomenal story on so many levels. And I do think you're going to have to write a book about how to write a best-selling book and get it into a movie, because it's an amazing story and your authenticity is so refreshing. Tell listeners if you're, like, what it's like working with these people in Hollywood and seeing your characters, you know, come on to the big screen. I mean, most people don't have this experience, and I don't know if you can tell some potential, I mean, who you would love to be, you know, acting in some of your characters, but, you know, tell us about the inside process of getting this, you know, onto the big screen.
The inside process, well, it's, you know, it is definitely, it's a whole learning experience for me, because like I said, I was born and raised in L.A. You know, you go to school with childhood actors, and you know, I'm not starstruck at all. I mean, they're just people. They eat like we do. I mean, they do everything. You know, they're just people. They're great people. But being introduced to so many, and last night I had dinner with a huge director, and of course Christine Peters and myself in L.A. And then yesterday morning, actually, I was with Peace Nastatis, who is one of an award-winning composer, and there's somebody else in London, David J. Harvey. He's a great friend of mine as well, and he's written music for this. And, you know, I'm just going to back this up a little bit. When I first wrote this book, you know, I don't know what it was, and I honestly believe, if you believe in yourself, I mean, you have to believe in yourself more than anybody else. Because if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else is ever going to believe in you. So that's first and foremost, I think that's most important, to always believe in yourself and never give up, because, you know, this, I've just been so lucky. I mean, I've been so lucky throughout this process. I don't know, you know, you said, you know, I do pinch myself every once in a while. It's just real. But, you know, when I wrote this book and I started writing, I thought, and I am a real music lover. I mean, I love all genres of music. I always have. And so as I'm writing the storyline, I thought, oh, this would be, you know, if this ever became a movie, this would be the perfect song behind this part, and this would be the perfect song behind this, you know, this chapter, and it should end, and when the credits come down, this is the perfect song for this. And, you know, I just have this, you know, have these little dreams going through my mind as I'm writing this, and I thought, you know, this character could be played by, you know, Carolina is the main character of the story, Carolina and Michael. But Carolina, I always thought, you know, when I portray Carolina, her character would be somebody like Michelle Pfeiffer. Now, if I could back Michelle Pfeiffer up to her, like, 40, she would be the absolute perfect character for Carolina. But obviously, she's, you know, I would love to maybe one day use her in something, because I really do. I love Michelle Pfeiffer. I think she's adorable. She's got a great personality. She's, you know, she's just, she's, to me, she is one of my favorites. But I think, you know, if Carolina is portrays the Michelle Pfeiffer type of look. So I'm thinking, and I'm going through the IMDb, which I really never knew. And actually, I am on the IMDb site.
You are. Tell people what that is, because that's a lovely write-up about you. For people that don't know what that is, tell them what that stands for and how they can find you.
The International Movie Database. And all they have to do is just go on IMDb, and type in c.k.gray, G-R-A-Y, and it will just give you a little bit of bio on me as well, and, you know, that I'm co-producing this movie, that I'm executive producer as well as the writer. And then Variety Magazine did a big exclusive on me as well.
Oh, great.
They did a Variety Magazine, I believe it was in the middle of March, so not long ago. And that's actually up on the IMDb site as well. I think it's an attachment article. I think they've also added in a few of my quotes. So, but, yeah, so the... So back to the characters, and when I was writing the book, I just, you know, you always have these little dreams, and I thought, okay, you know, if this ever became a movie, and then I have a friend of mine who's actually in the music industry, and he's, you know, I mentioned to him, I won't say any names because it's not 100%, but he is very interested in doing this. You know, when I was writing the books, I said to him, hey, Dave, I'll say his name, just Dave, that's it, you know, if this ever becomes a movie, if it ever does, would you do all my sound mixing and re-recording? He goes, sure. You know, and there you go. And it looks like he just may be doing it. So it's, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, be careful what you wish for because you just never know. But this is actually a good wish because I never thought it would end up where it is today.
Wow, that is really, oh my gosh. If you have a question, maybe you're wanting to write your romance novel, maybe you're just curious how to get that type of stamina, encouragement to just go ahead and, you know, just follow your core belief or anything you have about questions about being in the movies and working with some of these people, you can call 347-637-1318. What has been the most surprising thing to you, Carrie? What is, what, you know, you said you grew up in L.A., so part, you know, you're probably more familiar. Like, I'm in the Boston area. I don't have Hollywood next door. Like, you grew up with it. And a lot of our listeners are not, you know, in Los Angeles to be surrounded by this culture. But what were some of the things that surprised you the most now that you're working with these people, you know, taking your book, making it into a script, picking out the, you know, the people that are going to be involved in it?
You know, I think being, you know, my involvement has been wonderful. It's, like I said, it's a whole new learning curve for me. I have learned so much about the back end of this industry, which you never, you know, you don't realize how much goes into making a movie. You really don't. I mean, it's, first of all, it's, you know, the contracts after contract and the attorneys. I mean, you've got to protect yourself, and it's going back and forth with that. I mean, that's a huge process. That's, you know, months and months of the contract. So this is why, you know, when they say it's in, you know, going to be out in like 2015, 2014, I mean, budgets have to be put together, location has to be put together, your cast, your A-list, your directors, your line producers, your regular producers, your co-producers. I mean, it's so much involvement. But, you know, I have learned this industry. You know, as I say, I learn every day. I learn more about it. But the people, yesterday, like I said, I was invited out to lunch with S.P. Nastatis, who's an award-winning composer. I went to a studio, and I listened to him. I mean, he's unbelievable, unbelievable. And then we went out for lunch. So, I mean, it really opened up a lot of doors for me to meet a lot of incredibly talented people in this industry. I mean, they really are, and everybody I have dealt with has been absolutely phenomenal. But the other interesting thing, when Christine, you know, we had to decide who the screenwriter was, and, you know, she set up 2 days of meetings. I flew back into L.A., and, you know, I had some of the top screenwriters pitching to me. So that's another thing. I mean, I look at it and say, you know, they're pitching to me. And same as now, the directors were pitching to me to make this movie, to direct the movie. And so I'm looking at it with Christine, and we're back and forth, you know, looking at, you know, what they have to say, what they're, you know, what they've got to pull in the movie, you know, how to put it onto, because obviously take, you know, it's not, you know, when you read a book and then you see it on the movie screen, you know, you have to change it. I mean, my storyline still remains the same, but you do have to change it into movie form. So that, you know, that was something I had to grasp, because I thought, okay, this isn't because you think you write the book and then what you write goes to the big screen, and it's not that way at all. So it has to be written where more has to be brought into it, has to be made into, you know, where when you're sitting in the seat, you don't want to, you know, you don't want people to walk out. You want to keep their attention the entire time. So it's bringing more into that. It's going from book form to movie form. And it's just, you know, meeting everybody in this industry, and it's just been fun. I mean, it really has, and they're all great people, and, you know, I've just had a lot of fun with this whole experience. And then, of course, we're going to do it again, because with After the Storm being optioned, so they'll do the sequel, and that'll be the next, you know, the next phase. And my kids are all grown now, by the way, so, you know, I think, you know, going to, you know, allowing myself, at this point in my life, you know, it's like I said again, you know, life is half lived before we really understand what life is all about. And I think our lives are so consumed by family, you know, our you know, when you've got small kids and you're taking them to soccer practice and you're taking them ballet and dance lessons and skating and hockey, you know, whatever else, you know, whatever our kids are involved in, and just a busy, busy life, that we don't take a lot of time for us. And, you know, like I said, my life was great. I really, you know, had no complaints. And raising my kids has been a pleasure. I mean, I've got three amazing children. And I just got to a point in my life where I realized, you know, okay, now it's my turn. It's my time to do what I really love to do. And I took it amongst myself, and I did. And like I said, I'm just going to write a book, came up with a storyline, wrote it, and there it is.
Well, I tell you, there's a story within the story. And you know, for people that are listening, if you're out there and you're listening to Carrie and you're saying, you know, there's so many elements that you might be attracted to, but I think that the life lessons through this experience, and you said it so beautifully, you know, your three children, they're grown, you enjoyed every moment of your life. You really enjoyed each season as it was. But I think that your message to those of us who, you know, are listening to you today is, but don't leave. It's like the don't leave with the music still in you. Don't leave this life without, as your quote says so beautifully, you know, you want to be able to live your life and know that you did what you had the talent to share. And the life lesson, you know, to just begin and not necessarily be attached to the result or even understand how it's possible to just, you know, take that step in the moment. What a life lesson. What are some of the other top life lessons that you would like people who are with us now, you know, to really understand? If, you know, the Carrie that is the wise person now, you know, if you could talk to yourself when you were younger, those types of things that you might tell yourself to do sooner than later.
I think, you know, a lot of us procrastinate because a lot of us have so much self-doubt. You know, we do. It's like, you know, well, I don't know how to write a book. Or, I mean, there's so much help out there you can get. I mean, you can Google anything today at all. You just, you know, and you just read and you learn. But I think, again, you know, so many of us out there have self-doubt. And they thought, if I write a book, you know, nobody's going to want it. I don't know how to do this. And they just give up. I mean, that's the thing. They just give up. And I honestly believe that you've got to do what's in your heart to do. Because my saying, again, is, you know, I've become such a little philosopher here. But it's, you know, I come up with so many quotes. I always say, you know, follow your heart because it will never steer you in the wrong direction. And it's, to me, it was something very deep within. I needed to fulfill this passion of mine, and so many people procrastinate, and life is just too short, and I understood that. And people have asked me, well, would you have liked, you know, rather have done this 20 years ago? Well, no, you know, I think 20 years ago, you know, I raised my family, you know, I have my full-time career, and life was good. It was just, I didn't want to, I thought that if I took it away from, you know, raising my children, which were at the time, you know, they still are my number one priority, then I probably won't be as successful as I am today because I would not have been able to pour my heart and soul into it back then. And this is why, you know, I waited, and I'm glad I did. I mean, I'm glad I did. Not that long. I would never wait, you know, forever and ever. You have to do it at the right time. And, you know, people say, you know, if you wait for the right time, there's never a right time because a lot of us will just continually procrastinate. But you just have to do what's in your heart. And if there's something you love, if, you know, if you you know, for example, let's say you love to quilt. Well, make a quilt. You know, just do it. Do whatever is in your heart, and because it's going to make you happy. I mean, your inner self, and that's what I did. And I think your outcome, you'll be a lot more successful if you have that time and you put that, you pour yourself into what you love to do most. You'll be a happier person. And that's what I did. And I just poured my heart and soul into every word of this storyline, and, you know, it paid off. It did. It really paid off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, so let's, this is a commitment that we all have to make after listening to you, Carrie, is just knowing mm-hmm. that we have got to get out there and do what's in our heart. And I love that example, you know, if it's quilting, if it's music, if it's writing, whatever it is, but enjoying each segment of life and mm-hmm. really being present. Now, when you're writing, mm-hmm. is there a particular place that you write? Do you write in the morning or the afternoon? I mean, what were some of the ways that, because I guess what I'm getting at is a lot of people, I mean, I've written a self-help book, but, mm-hmm. you know, romance, I have, you know, lots of people who amaze me with what they can create. But, you know, mm-hmm. how do you get yourself to go from that idea to the discipline of getting the words typed?
I go through phases. Honestly, there isn't a set time. I still actually have my full-time job, which I love because, again, it's my passion. I love interior design work. Again, I can pour my creativity into that. I can pour my creativity into my writing. So I still haven't given up my full-time job. As I still really love
really?
It.
Wow,
really?
Wow, okay.
Honestly, I do a lot of commercial and a lot of residential. And again, I mean, I love people. I love my clientele. It's just another piece of me, another one of my creative outs. So with the interior design. But yes, at night, I mean, I will usually write in the evening. I get a burst of energy usually at my second wind, you know, later on in the night, around 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and I can write for hours, and it'll just flow. You know, the words just flow, and coming out with the storyline, what you need to do, I mean, if anybody really, if you know, I'll just give a little bit of basic background, but if you want to write a book, you know, come out with your synopsis, your entire thing, and then break it down to each chapter, you know, like this will, you know, whatever you're going to place in that chapter, and then fill it in and, you know, write a little bit more. And for me, people always ask, you know, where do you write? Well, I have a lake house in where I live, and I can't even go there to write. I've taken my laptop up there with many, many times, and you have that visual of the writer sitting in, you know, in a room with
yep.
a beautiful view of the
yep.
lake or the trees. And, you know, with me, I have that view from my lake house. And I take my laptop and I draw a blank. I said, I cannot write here. And this is kind of crazy, but the place I write, honestly, is sitting on my bed with my laptop. That is the one place I can just sit. I don't know why. I have an office. I have to sit on top of my bed with my laptop in my lap. And that is where I write best, in my own room. So I know it's crazy, but
that is so terrific. I love that. See, people really want the insider secrets. It's like,
mm-hmm.
okay, she has the lake house, everybody, with the beautiful view. It's like the mm-hmm. stereotypical we see on the commercials, the writer
right.
there overlooking the scenic, and here you are, just comfortable on your bed with your laptop. I love it. I love
That's
it.
Right. I can be in my pajamas, and I'm sitting there just, you know, shorts and a T-shirt, whatever, and I'm just on my bed, and I'm just me. And, you know, it's, like I said, it's something, and it happens. I mean, I don't have, like, a specific time where I'm going to write between, you know, 8 o'clock at night till midnight. You know, it's just whenever it comes to me, or I can be driving in my car. You know, I shouldn't grab my cell phone. I grab my cell phone, turn the thing on the voice recorder, and I'll just record a thought and something that I know that has to be implemented into that story. Or it's like, oh my gosh! And you know, after I wrote it, it's like, oh, I should have done this. I should have done that. You know, we're always going to make those mistakes, or I should have, but. You know, the next one. And we, you know, we gain experience. The more we do, the better we're going to get at anything, no matter what it is. But you just need to start somewhere, and no matter what that passion is. And I think you need to find that passion. Everybody has a passion. Everybody has a passion in them. It's just discovering what that passion is. And once you discover it, go with it and don't let anything stop you and don't let anything stand in your way. And, you know, if it's an hour a day, if it's an hour a week, you know, just as long as you're fulfilling that passion, that dream, because, again, happiness comes from within. And if you're happy, happy, you know, with yourself, you're going to be a better person.
Wow, isn't that a great life lesson? I don't know. I put you in the entertainment category, but I could have put you in self-help. I could have put you in books or writing or, you know, life. I mean, there's just so many great lessons that I think you live and you share. And how does your family respond to this? What do your kids think and you know, the family members and all of that? I mean, it must be a journey for them as well, huh?
Actually, no, it's quite the opposite. It is so funny. I mean, I wrote this book, and my kids are like, okay, Mom, you know, whatever. You did what you need to do. I have three children, and all over the age of 19. And, you know, my middle child is the only one. I have a son and two daughters. My son is the eldest, and he has not yet read the book. And it's been September 2010. And my daughter, my middle child, yes, she read it. And my youngest one is in her second year of college. And I said, you know, here's these books. In case you have any downtime, you know, if you want to ever read my book, I put them on her nightstand. They were still there. And I said, have you had a chance to read them? And she goes, no. And I just, you know, to me, I'm always going to be their mom, you know, no matter what. No matter where this takes me, they're just, you know, I'm always just going to be their mom. And I, maybe when it is on the big screen, you know, I'll go and, you know, maybe I'll take my kids to the show. We'll go in and we'll buy our popcorn and we'll go sit down in the seats with everybody else. I'll say, okay, this is your mom's movie.
So. Just going to go in there. Nobody's going to know. This is your mom's movie. They're going to be sitting in. Isn't that funny? It's like, you know, nobody's a prophet in their own hometown, you know? It's like your kids saying, okay, Mom, yeah, you did
my
it, and here you
are. Actually, my parents are my biggest fans. I mean, they really are. And, you know, this is something that, you know, they always knew that I loved to write. I mean, I really did. My grandmother was a great inspiration. My uncle was a great inspiration. As a child, I always said, you know, one day you're going to write a book. My grandmother used to tell me that every week. I know
your grandmother did. See, grandmas
know.
I think they have that intuitive skill. It's like, you know, the psychic network has nothing on them. They have that intuitive ability to really tell.
They know us. And, you know, she knew that one day I would write a book. And she just knew in her heart I would. And you know, she passed about, you know, 15, 17 years ago. Unfortunately, she, you know, I swear, I've got, my uncle passed away in the process of writing Eye of the Storm. And it was very sad because he was so excited to hear my storyline, to see the finished result. And he passed away suddenly, and it was very sad. And my grandmother, again, was a huge inspiration as a child, as my parents were. But I swear I've got my uncle sitting on one shoulder and my grandmother on my other shoulder. And I think, you know, they've been with me through this entire journey. And, you know, I feel so blessed to be where I am because it's the whole success, and it kind of fell in my lap. I don't have really any explanation. It's just lucky. It's writing, you know, tell your people out there, I'm going to tell them too, just write something that's going to captivate an audience. That's what you want. You really want to write something where the readers don't want to put that book down. And I think that's really important because, you know, you want to keep their attention span. And I think that's it. And also the storyline. It has to be a great storyline. So, you know, whether it be, you know, writing about, you know, whatever your imagination can find, write it down. Because it will. You can always run with that idea. And, you know, as it being fictional, we can do whatever we want. You know, we can write whatever we want. It's, you know, sky's the limit. And just, you know, just take it, put it down, put it on paper, and just start writing. Write out ideas, and it will all come together. It will all eventually come together.
Wow. You know, this has got to be, what a journey. I mean, it's just absolutely, it's just so inspirational to hear you speak. You know, the inflections in your voice, I mean, it's contagious, and it's contagious in a good way. Like, we all want to catch that. But when you were writing, and I'm not a fiction writer, but for those who are out there, how do you, I mean, do you discover something about yourself in the characters? Do you write, and is it a cathartic experience as well, or do you feel like, you know, I just don't know how you would would you have any hesitation about something that you wanted to create, or you just let your imagination go? I mean, there's got to be some sort of a there's you in every character. So, you know, comment on that.
You're absolutely right. Deb, you are absolutely right with saying that. Every author brings themselves into the storyline in some way, shape, or form. We really do. I think I created Carolina. A lot of me, her personality would be the same personality as I have. You know, they both have children, and then I know my children better than anybody else. So it's, you know, I'm just thinking, all right, you know what, I'm going to put a little bit of characteristic of my children in there. It's coming out with names. You know, I brought up Eliza and John, who were, you know, 1902, Savannah, Georgia. The young couple, John and Eliza, were actually, those are names in my family history. I have a lot of ancestry from Savannah, so that's why I decided to create the story, the location. And we do. I mean, through the writing process, it's everybody has their own, you know, their own style of writing. And this was, I mean, like you said, you know, we do. We all bring ourselves into that storyline. This isn't based on my life. This is why it is fictional. But, yes, I mean, it's things we all question. You know, are you with your soulmate? Are you destined to be with that person you're with today? Or, you know, people taking their marriages for granted, their relationships for granted, things like that. And it's all, I need to bring that into questions that I question myself too, you know, just in the world, in the real world, as we all do. And this is how the storyline came up. So it's, you know, it's always a little bit of us that always goes into all of, you know, of what we write.
Mm. Well, I'll tell you, I mean, it sounds like I should, maybe we should all be writing a little fiction, because I could, like, rewrite the happy endings to some of the stories that I haven't quite wanted. They haven't worked out the way I want to, but you can always put that into those characters and those people and the story and the journey and the adventure. Now, as far as you're talking about soulmates, and I'd love for you to comment on your thoughts about that with for listeners, but, you know, there's got to be a certain amount of practical, logistical research that has to go into this type of writing. You know, how do you go about doing that? It sounds like an awful lot of work to get some of the facts in the story checked out and correct and so forth for the credibility.
Oh, absolutely. You know how much research that I did. You know, when you're writing, definitely, even though, although it's fictional, you're still using, you know, you can, well, that's the thing with fictional, you can actually make up the whole storyline and make up whatever, but there are a lot of facts that you need to. I mean, the time of 1902 was a general store, it was the mercantile, you know, it was just, you know, we can't use them all, because, you know, it's just things that we need to use. I need to research books that were, you know, at the time, because Eliza, you know, would read to John, and so it's also finding stories and books and authors at that time, you know, that were popular with that genre. It's just, it is, I mean, you have to do a lot of research. When I did Carolina and, John and Eliza, I believe, they were out in the boat, and they see, you know, something that looks like a Virginia moon. So I thought, okay, Virginia moon. You have to make sure that it's not used anywhere else. I'm thinking, okay, this Virginia moon, and my visual of a Virginia moon would be this big, bright orange moon in the sky. And, you know, so I Google it, says Virginia moon, which is the Foo Fighters, a Foo Fighters song, but I can use that as long as I'm not using lyrics to that. You know what I mean? So you really have to do your research in that sense as well. So whenever you're questioning, or somebody else has written something, I want to make sure that I can use that. Or, you know, you don't want to, writing, obviously, you know, plagiarism, you absolutely do not want that. Do not copy anybody else's work. Do not bring out any other, you know, writer's lines, author's lines in that at all. There's always a copyright in every story. Once it's out there in a manuscript and then it's printed, it goes, you know, copyright, and then you want to have that. You know, I was so paranoid when I, you know, I began to write the story, so I wrote the synopsis, and I just took it to my attorney, and I just said, can you stamp this and date it and the whole bit, just to protect it, just so somebody who didn't come out later on and say, well, it was my story. You know, it's just all the other little things that you have to think about. So, yeah, and I have, like I said, my third storyline that I've been, you know, working on diligently for, you know, with everything else that's going on. It's taking me a little longer than anticipated, but you know, there's only three people in the entire world that know. I mean, Christine says, okay, I want your third book. What is it? What is it? I said, I can't tell you. I cannot say anything. I mean, it's, you just don't want a storyline to get out there because, you know, that's another thing. I know we are excited about what we're doing and what we're working on. But the thing is, too, sometimes you have to hold a little bit, you know, just to protect yourself. If you've got a great storyline, just to protect yourself and, you know, take it to an attorney, have it stamped, have it signed, just so that, you know, it is your synopsis and just to protect you. So I did that as well. I just, like I said, I don't need to find my next book, my third story, you know, out on the big screen next year, and it's like, oh my gosh, somebody's got a hold of my storyline before I even got the book out there. So, just protecting me. But it's
There is so much involved in that. But you know, it sounds like you had fun doing it, and you know, it's good that the people listening, if you're out there thinking as you're listening to Carrie, geez, you know, how do you go about doing that? It sounds like okay, you just went through this method. You wrote each thing down, and then you checked it, and you had your lawyer and some other things. And I'm sure, you know, with the people in the movie, they're able to. I mean, this is what they do all the time, so that's going to make it a little bit easier. Now, we have some people in the chat room that want to know how they can connect with you on Twitter and Facebook. So, again, because they're saying they're going to your website, and just to make sure that you know, what you want to do on Twitter is go to @CKGBooks, @CKGBooks, and you'll find Carrie there on Twitter. And how are they going to be able to find you on Facebook again?
On my fan page, they can go to Love Story, two words, - Romance Novels. And that is my my fan page on Facebook. And also, if they want to go to my website, ckgbooks.com, they can go to the reader feedback tab, and it's they can submit, or it says they can submit a testimonial if they want to do that, or it says contact the author, I believe, under the first tab, under author or bio, and then it'll say contact the author. They can contact me that way as well, get in touch with me. And, yeah, so Facebook, my fan page, and my Twitter site, and my website. Yeah, so there's three different ways.
Boy, I tell you what, it's going to be busy. You're going to be a busy, busy lady, when, especially for the movie, because look at how busy you are now. So where are you going to be? I mean, people, if they want to get your romance novel and read it before they see it on the big screen, and also you've done some reality TV appearances, and, you know, you've just done so many things, and you're out and about all over. How can people meet you in person if they'd like to do that?
Well, what I do is I will, with upcoming dates and where I'm going to be, book signings, I will post that on my website, on ckgbooks.com. I will keep that up as well as things are posted on my fan page as well on Facebook. Love Story - Romance Novels by CKG Books is my fan page, and I do post on that as well, upcoming events, your radio show's on there this morning, you know, just where I will be, book signings, radio shows, whatever, you know, TV interviews, and they can come and see me that way. If they want to get the book, it's available on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, Amazon International, Barnes & Noble Online, Sony. It's available on all e-readers, so they can get it if they have want to download it for any e-reader. But again, if they want to go on Amazon.com, if they go to my website, CKG Books, on the right-hand side, they can just click on the book, After the Storm or Eye of the Storm. And after, remember people, After the Storm is after. That's why I say after. It's the second book. So Eye of the Storm is the first one. And if they want to read it, they just click on it. It will take you right to the site, and they can order it wherever they like.
Yeah. Awesome. Now, you know, it's a very I love the graphic, the cover image. How did you come up with that, that image? Because I love it. It's simple, but it's concise, but it's powerful, it's clear, it's embracing, it's welcoming, it's inviting. You know, how did you get that book cover, or both of them?
Okay, that's another one of my little creative outs. I just I love taking pictures. I have my camera with me all the time, and that's actually from my lake house. So I did my own cover.
No,
I did. Oh, honestly.
Look, you heard it here first. Insider secrets, up close and personal.
That's right. So just taking my camera with me, and I was sitting at my lake house one day, and it was kind of dark and gloomy. Now, I will honestly tell you, I did not stand out there and capture that bolt of lightning. That was photoshopped in there. I, you know, wasn't going to risk my life out there waiting for a bolt of lightning to strike. But I did. They did photoshop that in the publishing company, my self-publishing company, and they photoshopped it in there, and they do have an editing section. They also have an art department, so you know, obviously the cover was created by me. And then after the storm, I was in Nassau. I took my daughter to the Bahamas a few years back, and I still had it on my computer, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is a great picture. So that actually, I took that one in Nassau, in the Bahamas, and that's my other cover. So that one was, yeah, they're mine. It's just, you know, a fun thing for me to do. Is that creative?
Wow, I mean, you know, this book is really, you birthed a book. I tell you, your fourth and fifth child here. That is unbelievable how you actually took those pictures, lake house and Nassau, and that's wow. I just love that. I think that is so creative. So you're an interior designer, but you're just a life designer, I think.
You know, I just say, this is another little thing. I'll just, you know, I actually have it on my fan page, but I would say, you know, as I say and firmly believe, that everything happens for a reason, because life can be so full of surprises, the unexpected, and to say the least, many challenges. Moving forward on my own was the best thing that has ever happened to me. Discovering a whole new world, a new experience, and the ability to be me. So enjoying everything that life has to offer, taking full advantage of where my path may one day lead, my journey, where I was destined to be, because who knows what the future has in store. But I will always follow my heart, my passion, and pray that all combined will guide me in that right direction. So it's, again, you know, just following your heart and be you, be who you are, you know, just really be who you are. And I think that's so important, to be you, because, you know, people get to know you, they get to know the real you, and even through this journey of mine, you know, I promise you, and I'm telling you, you know, I say this on everybody's radio shows, I will always be me, and that will never, ever change, because, you know, I was at a conference, and, you know, people come up to you and want your autograph, they want pictures taken with you, and you know what, it's those people and those fans that have got me where I am today. And without them, I wouldn't be where I am. So, you know, I just, like I said, I will always be me, you know, just as personable as possible. And just, you know, because I thank them all from the bottom of my heart, because, again, I could not be where I am today with, you know, people not, you know, listening to the radio shows and listening to TV interviews and buying my books and, you know, wonderful, wonderful feedback on my website, CKG Books Under the Reader tab. I mean, it's just wonderful things written by so many. And I just, like I said, I just thank everyone from the bottom of my heart for being there, for supporting me, for purchasing the books, for believing in me. That's another important thing, because, you know, they believe in you, believe in yourself even more. So, yeah, it's been a whole journey.
I love your sense of humility and gratitude, and I think that that's one of the things that I've learned from people such as yourself, who have done something that's really been visible in you know, in the world. And I think that the famous people who are really stepping into their greatness, you know, have that attitude that you have, that humility, that gratefulness, that we all help each other, that, you know, discover, like to, you know, my thing is discover the amazing you, and we're going to put your face right next to that.
Well, thank you.
That blog, because you're really doing that so beautifully. I mean, it's just, it's phenomenal, Carrie, what you've done and how you lived your life. You know, they say that you're how you live your life, that's the message of your life, and you've just done this so beautifully, and what an inspiration you are to so many people. And, you know, on your website, you have so many of your favorite quotes up there, and as you know, on being on Twitter, I'm a quote fanatic, and I love them, and those are worth the visit as well. Just so beautiful. All right. Well, if you, I just can't thank you enough, Carrie, for being with us. And if you
have enjoyed
this show, you've been awesome. You're an inspiration. You'll be back when you're on the big screen for the launch. We'll have to see and hear about the red carpet opening and all of that. You'll have to come back.
I would be happy to come back.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, awesome. Tell people again how they can connect with you. And please, everybody, to keep our show going and growing, make sure you share this great inspiration that C.K. Gray has shared with us today, posted on Twitter, Facebook, and so forth. Again, how can people reach you?
They can reach me at ckgbooks.com under Contact the Author. And they can reach me on my Facebook fan page, which is Love Story-Romance Novels by CKG Books, or they can reach me on Twitter at CKG Books is my Twitter name. And that way they absolutely, and I do follow back. So if they want to follow me on Twitter, I'm going to follow you right back. So, and contact me anyway. I would love to hear from you. I would, you know, if you're out there and you do purchase a book or you download the book, I would love your feedback. I just, you know, love hearing from my fans and just, you know, to get your, just, you know, what your thoughts are. And if you have any questions and, you know, whatever, just, you know, talk to me. I'm a normal person like everybody else. I am just a completely normal person, and I would be happy. I would love to hear from you.
Well, Carrie, thank you so much for sharing your shine with us and making the world a better place. Love what you're doing and how you're doing it. And looking forward to having you back again. And just go out and take this inspiration that Carrie's given you. And in the famous words of Oscar Wilde, I always like to quote him at the end, you know, be yourself. Everybody else is already taken. Don't try to be somebody else, right? Be you.
That's
what Carrie did, and look what happened. So thank you again, Carrie. You're awesome. You're in the best People We Know Club, girlfriend.
Thank you so much, Deb. Thank you again for having me on the show, and thank you, fans, and thank you for listening, everybody. Really
appreciate
it.
All right, go out and make it a great day. Thank you, and be a blessing, and you'll be
blessed. Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.